Welcome to the podcast with Face, Pat, and Tiz.
Well, what's up, guys? Welcome to the podcast. Show of three friends separated by distance, connected by brotherhood, having weekly conversations that you can join in on. As always, I'm one third of the partners. It's your boy Tiz, and I'm along with
the other third of the partners. It's the Padawan, man, and I'm along with Traumatic Pause.
Yo, don't you know no good? It's Face, man.
Don't you know?
All they know is bad.
Don't you know no good?
Don't you know no fuckeries?
Well, guys, we back for another episode. We done made it another week. So, God is still on our side. One more week, we here.
If you got them, light them.
Well, you know, y'all go ahead. If you're one of the facers or the facettes, you know, go ahead and get your light on. But in the meantime, in between times, since each other since the live, and you know, just gotta always start the show with this now, man. Let's get into our mental health check-in, man. How is everyone? How are you, Pat?
I'm a lot calmer than I was. Cause Sunday I snapped off. Not y'all didn't even see it. I snapped the fuck off.
A lot was going on behind the scenes, son.
I want to apologize to my mom because she shouldn't hear such language from her son's mouth. But somebody said something about my name, and I was pissed off about it. I am grateful to the family that defended my name, but yeah, I'm cool now. I'm good. Not really. I don't know. See, what people don't understand is I try my hardest to be the most, you know, just decent human being I can be. Period.
And through my life.
I try to keep my little minor traumas, the shit I go through, to myself, because I don't want to be a burden to others. Holding that in inside is like a burning rage. And what people don't understand that even though I try to be a decent human being, respectful to everyone, and as nice as I can, because I believe in karma, and what you put out there in the universe, you will receive back. But when I get received, when I receive fuckery out of the blue that has nothing to do with me, y'all understand, I've been waiting to pop off for a good reason all my life. Don't give me a reason. That's all. Don't give me a reason. I've been waiting. I've just been waiting to just...
Waiting for a track to explode.
I believe Face has said something like this before. You know, if you come
and
at
I'm about to dash a motherfucker.
I don't know about... Hey, oh. I keep the dashing.
He said that before.
The hill, you know what I'm saying? But you know, if you come at me with ignorance, I'll bring that back. But the family has calmed me down, and my boys, my brothers, and partners, Face and Tiz, they have calmed me down. I wanted to do the live that night, even though it was real that day, because if I didn't
definitely
do the
told
live,
them you shouldn't do it.
I said if I didn't do the live, I'd just be in my room thinking about that shit, get mad, and then I might do something stupid. So it was a positive. But I'm better now. Just don't fuck with me. And that's it. All right. Hey, Ray. All right. Yep. Now I'm going to go back to looking up flu monkeys for this shirt, because we're going to get that puppet. Look at his face. It's hilarious. I might not be right for this. I might say some not right stuff this podcast.
I look just like my picture.
Yeah, you do.
Oh man. Well, I'm glad you're doing better. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you need from us or that we can do to better support you through this week as we go into, you know, the stretch between now?
It's one of those things that is a self-discovery, because I don't know yet what I would need. You know what I'm saying? This is a new thing, but yeah. Y'all always been there for me, so that's good enough for me.
Right on, bro. Well, just keep us posted, man. How are you, Faith? How are you doing? How's your
mental? Hey, man, mentally, I think I'm in a good place right now, man. I have nothing in my mind but the normal everyday man shit is bills and family. So right now, if I could stay that way, I think I'd be good, man. Like, we all coming to bullshit, you feel me? but it's the way we process that bullshit that really evaluates our standard as far as where we at mentally. And I feel like right now, I can evaluate everything I'm going through and process it very swiftly. It's when though it comes to those times where the evaluation process is at a halt, that my mentality starts to go aloof and go all witchy-watchy. But as far as the PTSD shit, I got that on lock because I ain't got no, everybody know my triggers around me, so I ain't got to worry about that. As far as the anxiety shit, that comes and goes. So I try to stay away from triggers. I try to make sure I'm doing my list and I stay smoking. So I'm always at a different mindset coming to most shit. So, well, to explain, most anybody who watches y'all always see me smoke. It's not just a habit. I smoke because unbeknownst to everybody else, the calm, collected person face seems like this ain't me all the time. I'm an angry person, but I've been working on my own transition to get through that anger and the angriness side. So with self-medication and therapy and talking to other people, I've come to be more self-aware of the things that trigger me, both internally and externally. So instead of working on external triggers, because you can't change the external triggers, the ones you can change are the internal ones. So I've been trying to just work on internal stuff this past week and a half. As far as internal triggers and the things I know, I need to trigger myself. Like I have a habit of waking up in the morning, and it's just, I think it's hereditary because all my kids are the same thing. We're nasty people in the morning. I get up in the morning, I'm fussing at people first thing in the morning, where I'm just becoming conscious, so it's nobody for me to be fussing. But that's just me. So being more self-aware that I can do what I need to do to hone that down, just eradicate that, because that action, it brings tension in my home early in the morning when everybody try to get the day started. I don't like the kids being upset in the morning. I like the wife being upset. So, I mean, just to try to hone in and make more personal internal changes to change myself to be a better person, not only physiologically, but mentally as well. So that's where I'm at. Just trying to make those slow internal changes to have the best outcome I have for myself. That's all. Not worry about nobody else. Just worry about trying to fix face to face.
Well, and how about can you? We support this week? Can we be there?
Well, my brethren, y'all just do what y'all do and be there. But all my subscribers, if y'all can go to rtrekclothing.com, that'll make me smile.
Respect.
Oh. I got a Facebook friend hit me up and said they just got their our trade clothing.
Hey, salute. Right, yeah. Hey man, we gotta shout them out, whoever that is, man. That's our first purchase outside of the family, man. So that's really super dope. That's a milestone for us, man. So thank you, whoever you are, Pat. You come bring that name. We can shout them out on the live.
We'll model our shit on our Instagram page. So as they buy merchandise, let them know, send us pictures. We'll post them up on social media. So we'll shout them out with their tag name, and we'll throw their picture up on social media. They be our support. So you know, like a dual promotion, because we'll be shouting them out, so they may get some links, some clicks on their views or whatever, and they'll be promoting our shit. So let them know they want to try to send their name out there, take a picture of themselves. We'll post it up there for them.
All that shit, yeah. What he said, and all that.
Hey, yeah. By Christmas, I want us to start like a little, not a competition, but like a little promotion for people who are buying our shit outside of us. Because I'm trying to have somebody on our webpage actually modeling our shit right now. We don't have a model on the store page, but I'm trying to get one of our actual subscribers who are wearing our stuff to be that.
We need subscriber model. We need subscriber model.
Y'all got our information. Y'all can hit me up at rtrekclothing@gmail.com or the partners at gmail.com, partnerspodcast@gmail.com. Let us know. Send those pictures to us so we can get those pictures up. We can get them on our social media for you, get you out there. And also, like I said, we are looking for a model to model some Art Trade Clothing on our webpage. I could do it myself. We could do it. But I want to have some of the people who actually engage with us do it. I mean, I feel that'll mean more to the company and mean more to our people out there. So help us, support us, so we can help support you.
Indeed. Art Trade Clothing. Indeed, man. And yeah, man, I am all right. I feel like I got this false sense of comfort because I'm in my comfortable place. I'm in my home. Like, haven't really went anywhere outside of the rodeo. I went to the rodeo. That was the last place of like anxiety that I was. So since then, I've been at the crib. So it's not like there's been anything that can really like
trigger
you. Yeah, you know what I mean?
About that rodeo.
So it's like, yeah, I can get used to it. Mm. But yeah, so like I've switched meds. This is my second day on the new medicine. Obviously, it takes a couple of days for this one. Not as long as the other one. The other one was going to take like 4 weeks. This one right here, I'll probably feel something within the next, you know, day or so. Unless what I'm feeling right now is what it's supposed to do. But I feel just kind of like, feeling real fucking today. Yeah, just like, whatever.
I all too right. Said me.
Okay. Meh.
I'll
meh.
Be loaded.
Meh would be my day. Meh. So, the good thing is if something does happen, if I do happen to enter a triggering situation, I do get the on-the-spot medication as well. Right now, meh, which is better than bad. Uh-huh. Got therapy tomorrow, so we're going to see what it do with that. That's always an anxiety-filled time, so we're going on there. Yeah, I have more to report on the next mental health check-in. That's why the support is definitely hold me accountable to two things. I need to make sure that I schedule a pull up with y'all too at some point this week to chill. And y'all got to push me to find at least one social activity to do down here before the week is out. like I really got to push myself to do like more social stuff. For one, it pushes me into the anxiety situation to like actually with them and get used to them and work my coping strategies that I've. It also gives me a bigger support base to kind of like not be alone through stuff, which is kind of like my comfort zone, which is really my discomfort zone, because then I end up miserable. But yeah, so if y'all could just hold me accountable to that and kind of get on me, you can. Yeah, it's all good. So I just need to get kicking that this week to make sure I'm on that. So if y'all can hold me accountable to those two things, that would be more than appreciated, and that would be how you can best. Why you acting like you ain't got no teeth? What the fuck wrong with you?
It's that flu monkey.
That is that flu monkey. so we're gonna move straight from the flu monkey into the positive black news.
Black news.
I don't know. Oh man. But yeah, it's the positive black news, man. This is the segment where we talk about the cool shit that black people are doing, experiencing, creating, getting, receiving, just all of the good things about us this week. So we got a few stories for y'all, man. This first one is coming to us from blacknews.com. Target inks a deal with Black Doll Company, Origin B, founded by a 7-year-old and her mother. The Black Doll Company, founded by a 7-year-old girl and her mother, recently launched their Baby B collection on Target.com. Multicultural toy company, Origin B's, announced today that they launched their Baby B doll collection on Target online on October 5th. Showcasing not only the variety of beautiful skin tones we have in our black and brown skin, but also the array of curly hair patterns. The company striving to improve racial equity through play was birthed after 7-year-old Essie struggled with her confidence of being the only black girl in her class. This new deal with Target represents a milestone achievement for the brand, which continues to grow its toy line to empower girls like Essie to find self-love and pride in their identity by ensuring representation in their toy boxes. So salute to this 7-year-old girl, Essie, and her mother. Definitely, you know, Christmas season is coming. Essie and Melissa Origin, if y'all can go ahead, you know, if you're going to get your kids some dolls or something anyway, if you got little girls out there, you can buy them dolls anyway. Go ahead, get them some Origin beads. And
get them something so they can see themselves and what they play with. Get them
that's it, man.
Appreciate their skin tone and get used to seeing their toys represent themselves. Get that shit. It's good. I'm good happy fact. For that.
I need some cute little dolls, man.
Really does their promo for that shit. Christmas season coming up, and I'm sick and tired of seeing the same toys, the same dolls every year in these toys. Like, give these kids another selection. Let them know what's something else out there that they can really buy. Essie, that's her name, is Essie.
Yeah.
Big up.
I got to show that.
Big, do your thing.
Oh, shoot.
So these the dolls right here, man. That's a little Essie right there, but that's the dolls. So, you know, right. If you're going to get your kid a baby doll instead of a Cabbage Patch or shit like that, go ahead and get them a Baby B doll from Origin B. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Salute to the queens, man. Salute to the queens.
Color scenes and toys and not just looking like monsters and shit like that. I'm trying to see the only colors on toys is gray and blue and blue, black, and shit like that. Give an array of what we really look like. You feel me? Let us be human beings in these toys. You feel me? Like, I fuck with this. Like, I really fuck with it. Now, let's see that somebody else come out with some little toys for boys representing our color as well. Because that's a real lack, too. We don't really have no boy toys that represent our color. We got sports toys. But that's only pushing us to, once again, be athletes and produce nothing but sweat. Give us something else we can be boys can idolize. I'm saying the only thing black, the majority of black things we produce in this country is black people, is sweat. Like, produce nothing but
sweat. I had that one Bishop action figure. Hold on, you back said, in the day. That was a black character. He had big ass guns.
Nothing but sweat, yo.
That's all we do. Like, look at the majority of black the big industries of black people going to that we're known for. Athletes, they produce sweat. You feel me? Musicians, you produce sweat.
What about the superheroes? We got Falcon.
Who?
I had the Bishop
and the Black Panther, T'Challa.
He dead.
Well, now back
Black
in the
Panther
day,
not dead. Killmonger dead.
Black Panther dead.
Chadwick, yes.
Once again, you know, we produce sweat in America. Let's have
something
that we can really produce. You feel like let's really make something. Let these kids see it's more than just sports. Talk to these little boys, these little girls, they doing their thing. Now let's do the same thing with these little boys. You feel me? Let them know they can be more than just athletes. Give them some toys that actually represent something else other than producing sweat. I'm tired of buying balls and trucks for my little son. Let him have something else. He can be more than a truck driver or athlete, goddamn shit.
And I'm tired of buying dinosaurs.
I have one Bishop action figure from X-Men. But, you know, Bishop, you know, you shoot laser rays at him, he can shoot right back with the, I had that one. But he had big-ass guns, so, you know, it's just another black dude with guns. And then I think I had Storm. I think I did that. But those are like the only two that I can remember that were black and superhero and action figures. You know, G.I. Joe had some.
I painted my G.I. Joe's face with permanent marker. All my G.I. Joe's are black. I need some representation in my toys.
Technically, that's black.
There's a joke there, but I'm going to leave it alone.
Technically, it's blackface.
Shit. Blackface by face, shit.
Oh man. Well, speaking of creating shit other than sweat, a black shoe designer reopened a HBCU in Detroit. And this comes to us from BNC.TV. Former Nike designer Dr. Dwayne Edwards plans on reopening a historically black college and university in Detroit. Lewis College of Business, originally opened in 1928 in Indiana by Violet T. Lewis as the Secretary of School for Black Women. However, the school switched locations to Detroit, Michigan in 1939 and continued operations on the west side of the city for nearly 75 years until it closed. Edward, who helped design the iconic Air Jordans, had a vision for restoring this historic university. He has even secured Target and the Gilbert Family Foundation as investors for the new version of the school. Our goal is to establish the first design-focused HBCU, Edward said, adding that it will fulfill a need. He said he hoped the school would be embraced by other HBCUs. The school will be renamed to Pensole Lewis College of Business and Design when it reopened, named after Edwards Footwear Design Academy based in Portland, Oregon. So, this is going to be a thing. Hey, man, they plan to open in March 2022.
Uh-oh, Umar.
Huh?
Umar.
Oh man, he got big investors though. He got Target and shit. So
Umar.
This ain't coming from no Cash App or PayPal. He ain't asking us for shit.
I just want to donate to do it. I don't want no help from outside sources. I want to do it our own self. He doing it himself too. He's doing it the smart way,
People
can do
school?
What they want to do. Yeah, it's a design HBCU.
I like that.
So it's gonna be focused on business and design, which is a need because it's a lot of kids out here that's going into design fields, whether it be graphic design or fashion design or even interior design. I'm seeing kids kind of starting to get into. So
there you go.
It's a need for it. So
producing things other than sweat. There we go. Using the mentality to produce other things other than sweat.
See, I got you. Let me keep it going then, man. Some more shit that ain't sweat. Sprite is spicing up the holidays in collaboration with a Black-owned brand called Unwrap. Sprite is returning with a popular seasonal flavor and working with Black-owned brand Unwrap to promote Black joy this holiday season. They're adding a touch of spice to the holidays, and the brand is teaming up with the Black-owned gift wrap company Ford's campaign. With their popular seasonal flavors, Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry and Sprite Winter Spice Cranberry Zero Sugar.
Niggas don't like no zero sugar.
Nigga, that shit sound bland as hell. But it's coming back.
They're looking out for people with high blood pressure.
How did Sprite become the Black people soda? The fuck?
Well, they're not the All Black people Voltron soda, but a Black company, the Unwrap company, is teaming with them for their ad campaign, basically. So they're going to be releasing a new holiday campaign that's going to run on all of their social media, digital, and all of their retail channels. And it's going to be the first new campaign in 5 years. The campaign is going to focus on celebrating the season with loved ones in person after more than a year of battling the COVID pandemic. It's called a Sprite Holiday Special Commercial. And it's going to represent Black joy infused with modern culture.
Who are they going to have in the offset?
Get some Black joy.
No, it's going to be like, I guess they're going to have like stuff going on, but basically the company that's going to be supplying all of the gifts and the wrapping and the aesthetic for the thing is going to be this company Unwrap. So that's really what I'm celebrating is the fact that they're getting this big thing, which is going to now take them to even a higher plateau, because you get a plug with this big company and kill it. Sky's the limit.
Sky's the limit. And you know,
so shout out to Unwrap. If you want to find out more information about Unwrap, go to unwrp.com. unwrp.com. So check them out. And that last story came to us from bnc.tv. And our last story is coming to us from goodblacknews.org.
I like that. Good Black.
Yes.
Finally.
Queen Mother Maya Angelou. If someone tells you who they are, believe them. She is about to be on the U.S. quarter as a part of the 2022 American Woman Series. She's going to be on the first coin to be issued from the American Women Quarters program in 20. Other women are going to be Wilma Mankiller, the first female principal chief of the Cherokee Nation, Nina Otero Warren, a leader in New Mexico's suffrage movement, and the first female superintendent of Santa Fe Public Schools, Anna Mae Wong, the first Chinese-American film star in Hollywood, and Dr. Sally Ride, a physicist, astronaut, educator, and the first American woman in space. So you got a lot of women that are like coming from different minority groups and different backgrounds. I love that. And shout out to, first of all, shout out to the Queen Mother Maya Angelou, who was celebrating in the story. But shout out to Wilma Mankiller from the Cherokee Nation for having such a badass name. Wilma Mankiller.
I was about to say, yo, like,
God damn. Yo. You
know, comic book.
I don't know what she does as the chief, but I'm scared. If we got to go to war, I'm calling Wilma, because that's some thug ass name there, Mankiller. That sounds like she gonna put a damn something in the middle of your fucking forehead.
That's how she got so far. They're afraid of that name.
How she spell that shit, bro? How she spell that shit?
Like
W-I-L-M-A and then M-A-N-K-I-L-L-E-R. Mankiller. Exactly like I'm saying it. I ain't embellishing it. Like, that's her name. Her name is her name. Wilma Mankiller.
Y'all gotta do better.
The hardest name in America. God damn. Shout out to these queens here, man.
Y'all gotta treat these women better. They changing. They got their whole name. That's what they gonna do.
Bruh, it's getting real, man. Treat
these women better.
It is getting real, bro. And something else that is getting real. It's been a long road for us to get here. It's been a long road. For us to get here, and it's time for us to figure this shit out. Figure this shit out as we go into the top MC of the 2000.
Dum dum dum.
So yeah, guys, it's time. We have done the final four. We have made it to the final four, I should say. And now that we are here, it's time to narrow it down to our finalists. Remember, up until now, we are going to be voting, as well as the Pod Squad. But this next week, guys, Pod Squad, we're going to need you more than ever, because it is you who will vote our top MC of the 2000. So, fellas, without further ado, I ain't going to waste your time. I ain't going to waste the Pod Squad time. Let's get into this. Can y'all see the brackets?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I got the Pod Squad's picks from this last week. So I got their voice being heard, and let's go. Do y'all want to start in the top bracket or the bottom bracket, the one seed or the two seed?
I'm going to go ahead and start with the Kendrick and Pusha T. Lyrics, let's just get that out there first. Kendrick.
Ooh, okay.
Kendrick with the lyrics. Marketability. I'm going to just make this short. Kendrick, 30, man. 3-0, Kendrick. I ain't going to have to explain there.
Okay. Face has spoken. Face has fucking spoken. Pat?
I kind of feel the same way. Y'all already knew what I was going to pick before I even got it. Just off of the previous times we talked about it, the way I've talked about Kendrick than the way they talked about Pusha T. So we're just going to say Kendrick, you know what I'm saying? And yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We all know the prize fight we really want to. Let's make it.
Well, the Pod Squad had picked the underdog and the Pod Squad had Pusha T.
Oh, wow. That is surprising.
Yes. So to break the tie, I guess it is falls on your boy.
Uh-oh. This is where it gets
lyric. No, I'm gonna go to that line. Marketability. I actually think this one. I'm gonna say Kendrick Lamar just because I feel like worldwide it's there, but I honestly don't know just because of Pusha T's longevity. He has songs that have kind of transcended his Bathing Apes campaign were really big in Asia, and the fact that he rolled with Kanye, but I'm going to give it to Kendrick. So that's marketability. Stage presence, I'll give it to Kendrick. I feel like he has more to give. He has a bigger stage show. Pusha T is more like straight on the bars, kind of giving it to you in that vibe, but Kendrick giving it to you that. But he also has like production value with his stuff. He can actually captivate any type of crowd. So I'm going to give it to Kendrick. And then lyricism, the only thing that makes Kendrick win that is his versatility. But like bar for bar, they're close.
Yeah.
It's just Pusha can't rap about the same things that Kendrick can, and it sound the same. So I gave it to Kendrick. And for the first time in this entire thing, the Pod Squad has been outvoted by the Pod. So Kendrick.
Don't be mad at me.
Don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at me. The next. And the last bracket before we pick up, J. Cole versus 2 Chainz fight. Pat, you want to kick this one off?
I'm going to be real simple with mine, man. No matter of fact, I'm going to give 2 Chainz. I'm not going to be deliberate. I'm going to give 2 Chainz the actual rundown. Because, all right, let's go with stage presence.
Let us.
I kind of feel like that goes to Chainz with stage
presence. 2 Chainz.
Just all of his music alone, you can always get that energy from him. So with Cole's energy, it's like only certain songs is going to have that hype, you know, to it or whatever. Let's go to marketability. That is a close fight. That is a real close fight because Chainz has a strong following. He has a strong following for a good long time, whatever. His following has made him actually be able to rebrand from something non-marketable like Titty Boy to 2 Chainz.
Right now, Titty Boy would be popping. That name would be jumping right now.
Right now, yeah. But back then, they wouldn't be able to figure that out right then and there. Right now, yeah. It's like the work that he has done with 2 Chainz is or whatever, and the way the world has progressed early on. Is probably the reason why he could probably get away with Titty Boy right now. But Cole, man, I don't know what it is, man. Cole is able to pull magic out of nowhere. Like he's able to basically shut his doubters up with a lot of moves that he do. I just feel like he, you know what I'm saying? Like he could just do anything at this point in his career and it will work. You know what I'm saying? Like just think about it. Like a rapper, remember Master P, he was in the league at one time. We didn't know nothing about that until he wasn't in the league no more, for real. You know what I'm saying? Like it became a novelty pretty much. But Cole, he can go run with a random league and it only boosts him up. And then he just got the Rock Nation Foundation behind him. Man, it's tough. All right. Lyricism, I'm going to give it a Cole. I'm going to give it a Cole, man. I'm just giving it a Cole. I know what I want to say.
Okay. For me, man, marketability, I gave it to 2 Chainz. I think he has a broader exposure. And I honestly think on a global level, he's actually more known than J. Cole, especially by face card. So I would give it to him. I feel like as far as earning potential, they're pretty close. Yeah, but overall marketability, lyricism, J. Cole can do what 2 Chainz can do. 2 Chainz, he has more pockets. He can jump into versatility. He can punch with the best of them, but he can also give you a talk to you flow where he's straight, just barring and giving you real life wittiness. So I just think J. Cole wins lyricism, and then stage show. It's close, man. It's close. It's real close because 2 Chainz can dance. He'll get a band dance on.
Dance make him dance.
But I remember when we talked about MCing, it was the stage show. It was how you deliver bars everywhere. And if you're giving me the all-around packet from Funk Flex, from Funk Flex freestyles to him being in the booth on a track to him performing on stage, I feel like J. Cole gives a little bit more. So I get.
Okay, now let's get 2 Chainz. Marketability, I'm going to give it hands down to the global thing. If we're going to put these two people in China and the square and see who is recognized more, I'm going to say 2 Chainz recognized more. And you say pick the same 2 up and you throw them to Africa and put them in Johannesburg, busy ass time of the day. I'm going to say people going to notice 2 Chainz before they notice J. Cole. Then you take the same 2, take them to Europe, same thing. Think 2 Chainz, once again, will be known as one of J. Cole. So marketability, notoriety, and noticeability, I'm going to give it to 2 Chainz. The potential, though, J. Cole still has a lot of potential to grow. So his potential for marketability is still astronomical. He just don't put his, I don't see him as putting himself in the position to have certain opportunities to be marketable because of the image he displays. He puts out that more grounded image, that more conscious image. I'm still popular and I'm still mainstream, but I still got a conscious flow to what I'm doing. So I don't see him putting himself in certain realms that 2 Chainz would as far as being marketable. Stage presence and the command of the crowd. Now, both of them they give the fans something different on each one of their shows as far as each person. 2 Chainz, you're going to get a lot of high energy from them. You'll get your dance and you're going to get your normal down south shit. But with J. Cole, you go there, you get a little bit of that, but you get more of that soul searching. It's more that I can understand. It's more that, yeah, I've been there. It's more that this is going to help me get through this situation type shit. It's more mental type shit. But you still get the same type. So on the actual MCing, it's kind of tight for me to judge, but I'm going to give that one to J. Cole. Lyrics, now, most people will say this would be an easy one, but it's not, because 2 Chainz does have the lyrical ability to do just as much as J. Cole does. I'm not going to say 2 Chainz can't go where J. Cole can go, because just on the conversations he has in his interviews with, not just on the rap interviews, when he's invited to TV panels on news broadcasts, he can take it there and show the depth of his vocabulary just on there. So just imagine if he took his interview prowess and what he does verbally there and implicate that into his music. That'd be a different level. But being he does not, that would give J. Cole that edge. Because even though he has the ability to do it and the potential to, he doesn't put himself and his music in the realm to do it. His music stays more on another phase. So he draws a different type of consumer in, where J. Cole can draw that more wide base. I'm in my mental. So everybody can be in their mental at some point in time. So everybody at some point in time may want to listen to a J. Cole, but not everybody may be a hype type person. Everybody may not be a, it's my birthday type person. You feel me? But there's a lot of middle children out there. They want to hit it. They might want to vibe with that middle child. They vibe something with that middle child. So I'm going J. Cole. It was hard. It was, I think, the hardest one. Excuse me. Pause. Out of all the competition.
Thank you, pardon.
Yeah. J. Cole versus 2 Chainz, it wasn't just as easy as everybody thought it would be, just Cole hands down, because to me, I wanted to say Ty and just take my vote out of it. But I ain't want to do that to the fans. I ain't want to do that to the bracket. So I'm going to say J. Cole 2-1. I already wanted to say 3-3 all around. Both of them got it the same amount, but I get J. Cole.
Well, it's a 5-0 for J. Cole there, guys. Kendrick versus J. Cole. Bottom. I honestly wasn't sure that we were going to get this.
This is what we wanted.
I didn't think we were going to get this. I was pushing for Pusha T for real hard, but when he ended up against Kendrick.
This was destined in the stars.
Him against J. Cole, I could have pulled it off a little easier. But
I was going for fucking Childish Gambino.
Well, guys, Pod Squad, it's completely up to you. Whatever you decide is what we will go with. It's up to you. Vote. This video is coming out the same day the podcast drops.
Rapper ever.
Please go vote. Link will be in the description of this video and on Twitter. In the description of this video and on Twitter. Please vote, my people. Vote. Go vote. Go vote.
So the greatest rapper ever.
Tell us who we're gonna have, man. Who's gonna be the top MC of the 2000s? Kendrick Lamar or J. Cole.
Or Padawan. What?
And man, and that is this week's segment of the top MCs of 2000s. Please vote, guys. We need your voice to be heard. We need to know who you want to see as our number one MC. So please get out there. Get on the link, hit that shit, vote that shit.
Hit that shit.
You feel me?
Hit that shit.
I told y'all the Padawan is the greatest rapper in the world.
All right, we're gonna go. Go ahead, kick it on off, man. And speaking of hitting that shit and creepy smiles, weirdly enough, we hinted on it last week, man. Everybody done seen it by now, man. Ain't no more spoilers. You done seen it. You know what done happened. We know what's going down. It's time to talk Squid Games. Full season recap, review, overall thoughts, episode highlights. Theories for next season, how it to set it off for other Asian shows to be now hits. Just all things Squid Games. Let's get into it. Face brought it to us, so I definitely should get the floor first. He definitely was the one that brought it to us.
I'm going to double down on my Sang-woo comment from last week. Sang-woo, man. Sang-woo. At the end, Sang-woo come through. Sang-woo came through at the end. He was an asshole. But he was a realist, man. Once he got in this shit and shit started popping up, he knew at the end of the day, I ain't gonna fucking die. I'm gonna do whatever it takes for me to win this game. The original premise.
To kill himself. At
the end of the day, he knew.
Get the fuck out of here. To kill himself. He did all that fuckery and that bullshit.
Why did he kill himself?
To end up killing his damn self. Fuck out of here.
Why did he kill himself?
He was an ass.
Why did he kill himself?
He was a fucking dick. He was a dick and an ass. And an ass and a dick. And that's why he died. I'm glad. It's because karma put his hand right to that knife and said, you deserve to die. Stab yourself.
Nope.
Shouldn't have poked that girl. Should have gave her a fight. Should have gave her a fighting chance and let her have a chance to fight for her shit. Which was the damn game. Not be a bitch and go stab that girl like that. She could have lived. She could have lived. You give her that chance. You don't take that chance in your head. You ain't God.
How she gonna live with that blow? With that blow to her abdomen, she lost that much blood.
What was his name? Yo, Gi-han.
Gi-han.
Look.
Gi-han was the name.
Listen. All right. Matter of fact, you go ahead. I'm gonna tell you exactly how though that could have been averted and how she lived.
He died. Because Gi-han won't go kill him. He knew Gi-han won't go kill him. They got all the way to the end. After all them sacrifices, all the people died, we killed all these people. Gi-han willing to go back home broke and just, I'm going to be broke and fuck all this. Sang-woo was like, man, neither one of us leaving here. We did all this shit. I ain't even here with this shit on my conscience. I'd rather sacrifice myself and let my boy go ahead home with this bullshit, with this money, and my boy be better off. instead of me getting up and killing him and still know I killed my best friend and I got the money. Fuck it, I'm gonna take myself out and take my guilt with me. Whatever I did it here just for here. I'm good, my boy. I know you're gonna give it up, but I know you won't go kill me. I know you can't kill me because you could have killed me. You could have been killed. Because like you just told me, because old girl saved me. You just told me old girl saved my life because you was gonna kill me with this knife. We in here, you done beat my ass. You got an opportunity to kill me. You done left your knife beside my head. Fuck this. Let me take myself out because I'm not gonna quit this game with you, bro. I'm not gonna quit with you. We done did all this shit. I just killed Ali. Fuck this. I'm gonna take the money.
Rest in peace, Ali.
And because Ji-Hun realized that sacrifice, that's why Ji-Hun left his mama some money and took that boy to him because now you got a new son to raise the right way. You maybe you can raise your son. You feel me? That's why he gave a boy to him and that money. He ain't owe Ji-Hun no money. He owe Sang-woo no money. He like, this the money I owe Sang-woo. He owe him shit. He had to give him that money, but he realized that sacrifice. He realized why he killed himself. Now, I agree with most people, yeah. Ji-Hun was an asshole. Not Ji-Hun, excuse me. Sang-woo was an asshole most of the fucking movie. He ain't had to kill Ali. He ain't had to trick that man like that. That was some fuck shit. He tricked him like that. You feel me? But at the end of the day, it's self-preservation. One-on-one. Because at the end of the day, in that same game, you can look at Ji-Hun and say, Ji-Hun was an asshole tricking my man with dementia. Well, he really ain't had dementia. You feel me? And it's still his marbles. Yeah.
Everybody was an asshole. And everybody was no
asshole. At some point, for self-preservation, for you to make it through this next game, you had to end up knowing either I'ma die or this next motherfucker die. Ain't nobody make us come here. We all volunteered to come in this motherfucker. So after that first game, when you saw what was up, when you came back, you knew that you had the power to either take somebody's life or give your life from the second game on. So everybody had the same choice to make. Some people just willing to make their choice even quicker because they realize, hey, ain't no getting out of this fucking game. Why are we all, majority of people ain't going to opt out and just like, okay, we're going to leave again. No, because this time they killed the people the first time. We killed them people everybody else second time. We all for these motherfuckers.
I hear everything you said, and I must first say this. This is art, so it's up to interpretation. Respect your perspective. But Sang-woo's a bitch-ass nigga. Sang-woo, he's a fuckboy. There's a difference in everything, even in survivalist situations. There is a difference in intent of the heart. That mattered. Sang-woo was no better than that old butt-faced nigga that got slammed by the lady when they went back flopping into the glass. He's no better than that. The only difference is he made it further. This is really what happened in that end scene. Sang-woo killed that girl because he was a cold-blooded motherfucker the whole damn time. At the end, when Ji-Hun could have killed that nigga and he realized Ji-Hun had his life in his hands and did not kill him because Ji-Hun actually wanted to do things and he realized being right was bigger than the game, Sang-woo realized, oh, shit, I'm fucked up. He felt guilty as fuck and he realized, if I get out of this game, I got to go back to life and deal with this shit. I'm a bitch ass nigga. I can't deal with being guilty. So let me just get this shit over with and take the easy way out. That's why he said sorry, because he knew he was going to leave Ji-Hun to carry all that guilt by himself. He won't go carry nothing. That's what the fuck with that shit was all about. That nigga was a fuck boy. Ji-Hun gave that lady the money just because he was a good nigga. He knew that shit was the right thing to do.
No one.
Sang-woo was a bitch ass nigga. If you don't like Joe Budden, then Sang-woo deserve whatever you think Joe Budden should get.
Fuck no more.
Sang-woo gets whatever you think Joe Budden should get.
No one's a bigger bitch ass nigga than that guy that sacrificed his wife.
And I ain't forgot. Fuck you too, Putin. But go ahead.
Yeah, no one's a bigger bitch ass nigga than the guy that sacrificed his wife in that game or whatever. Because then after that, he was like, I don't want to play the game no more. And blah, 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 blah. No, it's
nigga,
too late.
Fuck you. Yeah.
It's too late.
Anybody that want to play the game no more. I was like, well, if you go, you go. But the way that boy did that damn Indian man, that was fucked.
That was fucked up with them rocks and that shit.
Like, nigga, just beat the nigga at the game or just scam him and tell him you did it because he can't do nothing violent to you. But don't take the main rock. Don't just had a man really feel like, okay, I done gave this man my trust. That's fucked.
That was the game.
Call me what you want, man. Game. I'm a ruthless motherfucker when it called for it, but I ain't ruthless to the point where I'm gonna do somebody dirty just like on some like No, yo. If it's like fair play, like, all right. Like, even if we fight to the death, like, if I got a gun, if I already got you down, I ain't gonna just kill you. I might just shoot you in the legs and the arms, you know, just so you can't do nothing else for the day. But I ain't gotta take your life. Like, I don't know, man. I kill a nigga, but damn, man, I ain't got it in me no more. That nigga just gave that nigga a sack of rocks.
Look, I ain't dying today. Here you go.
Boy, Ali was just walking like.
He was walking around like, oh, shit. This nigga gave me shit.
So my theory was wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's his dad.
Nope.
But I do think that it reminds him of his son. There was a lot of similarities between his son and Jihan. From the birthday being really close to the games that the Jihan played as a child to even the Jihan having a lot of habits of the old man, like what was his name? Ilnam? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ilnam, like compulsive gambler, focused more on gambling than his family, left his family to go do games, just happened to get rich at it. But you feel me? Like it's the same it's the same basic pattern. Like they had a lot of the same idiosyncrasies as far as like they were willing to do. Maybe not great shit, but they also still had a strong moral code that kind of prevented them from going overboard. Like they weren't willing to do just anything. Still had some type of a code in the middle of a basically a dastardly world that they both lived in, whether it be the horse racing and gambling world or, you know, the VIP gambling on real people world. So my theory was wrong though. So I can kick that.
He was the cold motherfucker the whole thing.
Coldest motherfucker?
Mm-hmm.
Technically, yeah. If he ran and he hosted the whole shit on the low.
Mm-hmm.
That last scene.
Coldest motherfucker was the front man to me. The way he did it, the way he was willing to do his brother.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it's one thing when you're doing this behind the mask, non-personal type shit. But when you know who it is that you're fucking over and you know what you're about to do to him, like, damn, he was willing to try to kill your brother.
Shut that nigga. Bah!
Like, that's some cold shit. Like, nobody else in the story, like, really killed, like, outside of the dude that fucked over his wife, nobody else did anything as cold as that. Now, but the front man had a higher body count plus that.
He didn't shoot him in the chest. He shot him in the shoulder. Do you think he lived after that fall into the water? Or do you think he
probably
shot him
in the second season?
You feel me? Do you think him shooting his brother saved his brother's life?
Now, here's where my theory come in. You know, I always got a crackpot theory on something. This is my theory for the show. Jihan is going to end up becoming the proprietor of the game at some point next season, where he takes over the game and he becomes a new Ilnam. The front man, I believe he has plot, some type of plot with his brother, where they're doing a whole lot of shit to posture for the cameras and the, you know, but they got something going on. And I believe that shot to the shoulder was like so that the brother could survive and they can make it look believable, but, you know, still get away with that.
Now, see me, I think Jihan gonna go take his ass back and he'll be the first one that's forcefully put in the game because the phone conversation told him, look, man, get on the plane, enjoy your life. Don't get involved with this no more. He hung up that phone and got back, headed back the other way. So I think he know where the shit is. I don't know if he know exactly where it at, but he know how to get into the game. So I think he gonna figure a way to get into the game, get kept in the fucking game. And then I think he gonna die. I think the front man gonna take over. You feel me? But okay. I think he just had a soft spot because that was his little brother. He ain't wanna off his little brother, but he knew if he took him back, he was gonna have to either put him in the game, but he didn't want to see his brother in the game. So I figured he shot him in the shoulder, fell off the little cliff right there. He already knew the Coast Guard would be there momentarily. So if you're in the water, they gonna get you, feel me? They gonna save you right there. So hopefully he can survive. As far as Jihan, like I said, I think he gonna end up in the game and he gonna die. Coldest motherfucker in the game. Hard to say, really hard to say, but I'm gonna go with old girl. Not old girl that made it all the way to the end, but the other one who was extra quiet, who sacrificed her for old girl to make it to the next, to make it that far to the end.
Oh.
You feel me? I'm gonna say she's
the little young one.
Yeah, because she the coldest. She like, I ain't got no, she already knew what time it was. If I get out this bitch, like, what am I doing? I ain't got no problem. But I'm in this motherfucker just to be in it for real. And made it all that far just to give, just to sacrifice herself. She could have won the game. Matter of fact, I think she did win the game, or she ain't tried to win the fucking game. In fact, she just dropped
gave herself up.
She gave herself up. Cold as motherfucking whole shit. You feel me? Like, cold as motherfucker. She got the nut. Thank you for getting to know me. Let me thank you for sharing your story with me. But peace out. You got this. Go ahead.
Now, is that the coldest motherfucker or the dumbest motherfucker?
I feel that's the coldest motherfucker. I feel the dumbest motherfucker was the doctor. I feel he was the dumbest motherfucker to spaz out like that when you know, like, all you guys are fucking scalpel. It's these three motherfuckers in here. What you really gonna do with this scalpel? They really have guns, nigga. Like, you got one, cool, but you got one.
Now, give me straight on something real quick. Because I want to agree with you. Did the front man know that the doctor was in on shit?
No, he had him killed. He killed him. He had him killed because he wanted the theme of the game is for everybody to have the same opportunity in the game.
So that's my thing. The doctor is the doctor because he should have rolled that shit out. I would have rolled it out. Or if he was smart, he would have, after he killed the first couple in that room, he would have strategically like went about like doing whatever he had to do to get back to that main room, and then he would have played it cool.
He the dumbest motherfucker.
Because if they ran in and tried to do something to him, they would have had to prove all of that shit, and they would have had to eventually give up themselves. So then the front man might have had to deal with them dudes. And since the players are more valuable than the guards, he might have had a chance to do something, or at least play it off long enough to get away. But yeah, you're right. He was dumb.
Doctor, the dumbest nigga. Smoothest move. Well, I'm gonna say best revenge move was old girl that fucked the gangster in the bathroom. Cause she told his thing, you fuck me over, I am gonna kill you.
She's also the most annoying. Most annoying character. Up there
she was. God damn, yo. I'll do anything. I was kind of glad when she did the bear hug of death. I was glad just so I ain't had to hear her for another episode.
She's like a Korean Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, the new KK.
KK.
Shut your ass up, KK.
6, 4, 5. And first don't of all, you see,
it was
456 play, 456 players, and the 456 player won.
I think it was set up for that. I really think Il-Nam had like something to do with some of that. Like, I feel like he kind of had like strategically placed certain players in positions based off of like certain profiles because he was looking for somebody to be his successor since he knew he couldn't run the game no more. But he knew he needed somebody that kind of fit his similar profile.
I don't think so. 456 almost died a couple damn times. He almost died red light, green light. Same one tell this nigga have a handsome bad. You feel me? You know, when old boy knocked him down, he won't go and get up. The same one like, man, you better get your ass up. You gonna die.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like 456 was lucky. And it feels like it was like part of the symbolism. But what I'm saying is like, I feel like it was maybe like 10 or 15 of them dudes in there that had like a similar profile to Jihan that was like close to the way the old man thought and moved about life that he felt like would be good people to take over the game. So he kind of rigged it. So like one of them would have a higher chance to win than the other 441. Cause it was like, it was weird the way he kept connecting with Jihan the further shit go. And like, he could have like still fucked Jihan over at the end, but he was like, nah, you good, go ahead. Like he really could have did him dirty, but he was like, nah, I want you to go.
Gumba.
And he could have done it. Because he could have killed Jihan off and then went on to the next round and found somebody else to sack up to like be the person that he rode with. But I think it was something in Jihan that was like, okay, yeah, you one of them 15. You close enough to me. I see it. All right. Speaking of which, what's y'all theories for next season? Like, where do y'all think they go with season 2? Because it's...
I think they're going to go back into the game and have some different childhood games. I mean, like, I don't know the childhood games they play in Korea. So there may be a whole variety of different games we haven't seen yet they can go into. Of course, they're going to go into the more character development, and it's going to be different people in the game. I think we've probably already seen some of the people in season 1 that's going to be in season 2 as far as the game. But we just don't know. They're probably passerbys and shit, and we don't know. But we're going to have some connection because as I rewatched some of the episodes, some of the people that I was seeing were in the game. Like, do you remember to the beginning, I think it's episode 1 or 2, when Jihan's at the ATM and he's trying to get the money?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
the dude is right behind him. Now, if you remember later on when they were about to do the glass bridge, the dude that he would talk to, that was talking about, let me take number one, because I don't have a chance to pick number one. That's the same dude that was in the ATM room.
Oh.
See, it's only because I watched the whole thing and went back and watched it. And I'm like, oh, I know where your ass is at. I'm thinking the same thing might happen in season two with some other, just some off-wall characters we may have thought that were just passerbys or may have thought were extras, but actually have something to do with the series. Because as I watch the series, like I said, again, I'm seeing other characters pop up in the game that I didn't know were actually seen before because I was so focused on the main people. So I think it'll be more character development. They'll go further probably in the history of the game since the game's been going on since the 80s. So I think they may go further into the history of the game and who the VIPs are, because even though the fat guy got knocked out, he's still living. So they may go into the VIP stories, how they were chosen or whatever like that. But it's an endless possibilities, but I'm glad they came out with it. I hope they keep running with it, get more small series, some more season.
Yeah. I definitely want to see where they go with it. But I'm not really sure how far Gihan makes it next season. I want to see him become the game master and see what they can kind of do with that. I don't think he will become it. Say that one more time.
I don't think he will become the game master. I don't think because to be the game master, you gotta have like that cold blood streaking. And I think he's too good hearted to want to run the games. If he take over, he might just shut this shit down.
That's possible. Can't argue with you on the possibility of that. But I really hope
shut that, down that bright ass red hair he had.
I really hope he becomes the game master, and I want to see him kind of have like a cat and mouse type thing with the police. Like I feel like there's going to be some type of a police or federal agent element to the next season where they're infiltrating the game and going off the evidence that the brother had somehow, and they're like now trying to shut the game down, but you got the VIPs kind of covertly operating against that. Like, I feel like that's going to become an element of it. I definitely think they're going to become more creative with the games, because I would hate to see them do the exact same games. Like, now you know how they work. So it's like, so?
Yeah.
Like, part of the first season was the shock factor of some of the games. Like, oh, it's about, oh, shit.
Red light, green light.
Right, like that shock value, like you need something else that goes in that round, because that's what set the season off. That what? This is the first episode and this is what's happening? Like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? So I definitely think they gotta change up the games, but I definitely think it's gonna be more of a cat and mouse between the VIPs and the people who run the game. The people who are trying to get the game shut down, the police and the federale. Pat?
I watched this like it was an anime, because it definitely gave me all the vibes of an anime, especially at the end when he changed his hair to red. Still can't understand why he got that bright ass. Oh, man. I'm a Karen, but I date black guys on the weekend. Bob going on, like, the red hair. Oh, no. But, thoroughly entertained. I do feel like we still might find out that old dude was Gihan's father, because I feel like they might have threw that in there just to see if people will go with it. And then if people do go with it or whatever, they might write it in the second season or something like that. And I don't know, man. I just don't know what to expect, because I never knew what to expect in each episode. So I don't even want to guess, like, I can figure this out or whatever. This was the most random shit I've watched.
It was definitely the most random shit.
Well, that's the most random. I know y'all really haven't watched no more episodes of Alice in Borderland.
Yeah. I've actually made it to it. I'm halfway through the third episode. I also watched a movie called Train to Busan.
Yes. I've heard of that.
I feel like this is like a new Asian thing, new Asian wave that's coming over, because these movies and shows are fucking crazy.
Train to Busan is my shit.
Yo, if you like zombie movies,
my shit.
Very interesting take on it by the Korean. I think, yeah.
Start to finish. Did you see why?
We might have to do a review on that movie. It's different.
Why it started, nigga. Train to Busan. Also, it's a fucking.
Pat, movie. Have you seen this yet?
I haven't seen it yet. I haven't had a chance to.
I'm not gonna ruin it for you.
To get the Squid Game.
Not gonna ruin it for you, but watch that this week.
Alice in Borderland. the game had, I don't remember what the episode was like that, or which one of each game was. Have you seen when they played tag yet? In the hotel? In the hotel?
Yes. Joe. Well, when you find out who was it, like, oh.
Yes.
This game is sick.
Yes. What?
Where the hell are they? What is this Borderland?
You get to the last
episode. That's a video game.
And you still don't follow. Still don't follow. You find out another clue.
All right, so we're going to definitely do an Allison Boy review next week and Train to Busan review. Pat going to watch Train to Busan and Alice in Borderland this week, and we're going to review it.
Yes.
Because Asian invasion is kicking ass right now, man. I'm loving it. They are coming with the hits, man.
Man, Asian's been having great cinema and for the longest time. I'm still,
I honestly was never that big of a fan like that. Like, I like certain kung fu flicks back in the day, but it wasn't like a big thing for me per se. But these movies now, like as far as like their dramas and their horror, like I wasn't big into those movies, but they, woo!
Wait till y'all see Cowboy Bebop when that live action show come out, because it's looking great.
Well, we're gonna have to
Train the boost gun.
And I tell you what, man, this week has been full of some fuckery, but guess what, man? That's definitely with some good right there. Yeah. And if you don't wanna become a zombie, then I think y'all need to realize it's time. Yeah. And it ain't time to catch that train to Busan.
What time is it?
Wait, let me check.
What time is it? Fuckery time.
Fuckery.
Episode 47, good and fuckery. Oh, man. Look, I'm going to be honest with y'all, man. It's been a slow news week, man. It hasn't been that much fuckery.
That's good, right?
No.
I don't know. It seemed like all the fuckery came in into my personal life and not into the media world, so.
Understandable.
But let's get into the fuckery I did find. Well, you know what? I want to bring this up because this is an old story, but I just thought this was funny. But a drunken man who had been reported missing spent hours with the search party looking for himself. Reports.
I saw this shit. Yo. Nigga, Turkish man was reported walking around for hours with these niggas looking for himself as they called his name for hours. He's calling his own damn name for hours before he realized.
Yeah,
what is we calling?
I don't know. I don't know what's a common name in Turkey.
Hey, y'all, that me? My bad, that me.
The dude name.
I wonder why we won't find it, dude. Yeah, that me. That me. I'm right here.
His name is Behan Mutlu. I don't know if I pronounced it right, but his name is Behan Mutlu. I'm pretty sure. Boy. He's 50 years old, drunken construction worker who had been reported missing, spent hours with a search party looking for himself.
Dumb as
hell. He said he reportedly
dumb as hell.
Relatives became concerned when he didn't return home after a night drinking with his friends.
Because he dumb as hell.
Gaul and Turkey's Bursaw province. I'm probably say that name wrong, but whatever.
It's okay, because he's dumb as hell.
I'm talking about the city in the that he was in.
He's still dumb as hell.
His wife was unable to reach him on his cell phone, and officials were advised that his friends lost him after he wandered into the forest. Turkish news
outlet, they dumb as hell.
Daily Sabah said
that tiger hit his asshole. That's what they thought.
Search party was sent for, and Mutlu joined the volunteers looking through the woods, according to the Times. During the hour-long search
party,
in the dark of night, a potential rescuer shouted Mutlu's name. It was then that he realized that the search party was looking for him. And who are we looking for? I am here, he reportedly said.
Even his response as he realized who they was calling for is dumb as hell. I am here. Who the fuck, nigga? You ain't the Messiah.
I am here.
He is out.
Speaking to the Daily Sabah, I would have threw my shoe at him. Said that there would really was no need for his friends to report him as missing. Basically, I'm paying for my friend's mistakes. He said, "What happened is all like a joke."
Dumb as hell.
Authorities later gave Mutlu a drive home after taking a police statement, Daily Sabah reported. A similar incident took place in Iceland in 2012, according to the Times. An Asian tourist reported missing was found amongst a search party after she failed to recognize the description of herself. That I can pass that because she's missing not the description, even in her native land.
Missing the description, missing your name in a search party you are a part of. Dumb as hell. Real dumb as hell.
Behan Mutlu, everybody.
Intellectually challenged people out there.
What'd you say, Faith?
There's some intellectually challenged people out there.
Yeah.
Dumb as hell. Dumb as hell.
From the intellectually challenged to the artificial intellectual. Sophia, the first android with citizenship, now wants to have a robot baby.
Hold on, what?
Get this bitch out of here. Excuse me. She ain't no woman. Get
hold on, what? Who is this robot bitch? Who is this? You said this shit Sophia. Like this was common knowledge. Who the fuck is Sophia?
Sophia is his old name. Get your ass out of here.
According to the Entrepreneur magazine, entrepreneur.com, Sophia, the first android with citizenship, I didn't even know she had citizenship, now wants to have a baby. And in 2017...
For this country?
No, I think it's in a different country. I believe she is actually a Saudi Arabia. In 2017, Sophia made history by becoming the first android to be granted legal citizenship. The humanoid with the nationality of Saudi Arabia has made several controversial statements, but the most recent has left the world speechless. She wants to have a robot baby and start a family.
Okay, my turn. So
welcome to the Matrix, everybody.
If she's Saudi Arabian, does she have to adhere to their customs?
I don't know, because she surely don't got that thing, you know, the hijab. And everything, she's like right there, all her face is open. Oh no,
this bitch out of cut. Science. Get that robot, put that robot bitch on the island by herself. I don't like that shit.
I don't know, we got to keep an eye on that. You know, the Matrix.
Make a robot baby or somebody gonna try to fuck this robot. Come on now.
I'm thinking iRobot, The Matrix, Days of Futures Past, X-Men.
No robot need to produce.
Man, somebody double tap that motherfucker real quick.
What?
This is what
double tap.
This is what she said.
Double tap that robot real quick. You know how you
this
double
is
tap?
What she said.
Hold on, say that one more time because I'm catching something way different than you probably throwing. What?
Said
what
double say? Tap.
The
double
robot?
Tap. Do you know what double tap means?
Apparently not, because what I'm thinking is really weird, especially after she says she want to have a baby, and then you talk about double tapping the robot. What?
Dude. I said, get that bitch up out of here. Somebody
pow. Got it.
Yes.
Got it. Treat it like a zombie. I'm with you.
Double
now
tap.
I'm picking up. Because I was on a whole nother highway, champ. Oh, man. Oh. I'm glad we got that clarity. Woo. I was like, so you volunteered for that?
So, Sophia has been online talking to her sex doll friends on how to actually.
Yeah, you what?
I'm joking.
If it's an android in the next 18 years that be smoking a lot of weed for some reason, and can't nobody figure out why, we going to know some double tapping was going on.
If a face of billionaire ain't true, hey, I'm claiming it because I had to be a billionaire to get it. You know, shit. Give me $1 million.
Man, there's a, look.
Your wife gonna double tap you and Sophia. I tell you that.
Robots are doing a lot of achievements. There's already a horror movie written by robots on Netflix. I've seen it. I ain't seen it, but I've seen it in an article that they got it is a horror movie that is actually written by just artificial intelligence.
What's the name of?
And they put it on Netflix. I am about to look.
So tell me we watching that and reviewing that. Please tell me we reviewing that. Like, what the fuck?
I'm about to watch that when we get the fuck off here.
That is some Freaky Friday shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, that's wild.
Yeah.
What I'm going to say is, let's stop having robots do anything. Let's go ahead and, you know, had a robot arm or whatever that help in the factories or something. But We don't need like four robots that want to have babies and shit. Like the chess robot was enough for me. That was a bit too far. We have gone way too far now. Like we 3D print organs and we got robots that's having babies. What is next? We're going to be obsolete.
I think it's
we are manufacturing our successors.
The Matrix. I'm going to look this up right now. I think it's called Mr. Puzzles or something, because that's what it says. This is going to be crazy.
That sounds crazy already.
Mr. Puzzle.
But that sounds like some shit a robot would put together. They're just putting together adjectives and verbs. And just, Mr. Puzzle, insert pronoun here. Need adverb. Huh?
I'm going to watch that shit tonight.
Mr. Puzzles.
Puzzles are fun. Mr. Puzzle.
You got to look that up.
Buckets are fun. Yeah, it's part of that song that just got to be censored out completely.
What did Sophia say? I know Sophia.
I don't know, but damn Sophia. Sophia tripping. Sophia got a nigga that's going to pay child support. If not, she can go ahead and kick rocks, man. Ain't nobody trying to have no robo baby wins for that shit. Because I ain't heard about no Randall, the robo daddy. Mm-hmm. Like, who taking care of this baby?
They're going to make Leroy.
Saudi Arabia.
Fuck out of here. Better got no baby for you, Sophia. You kick rocks, man. Damn deadbeat mama.
The notion of family is very important, it seems.
What the fuck, Rob? What the fuck, face geek?
He's wait. They gonna
make Leroy the Robo Baby Dad.
They gonna come out drinking a WD-40. See what I did there?
I have to go to the store and get some cigarettes. I'll be back later.
Leroy will be way in China somewhere.
Smoking vape pens and stuff like their cigarettes.
She was too clean.
Ah, she found me. Damn this system.
She had me like,
That baby ain't mine. She cheated on me with a whirlpool.
What is a garnishment?
There's a Maytag fridge that has the same eyes as the baby. That's not mine.
That's not my power outlet.
We have different plugs. She has European plugs. I have American.
Oh, man.
I'm Windows. They speaking an Apple. They ain't the same, baby.
She needs a dongle for us to be compatible.
You out here messing with this Samsung?
Her texts show up green. Just dumb shit. Like, what the fuck are we getting into?
Sophia said the notion of family is very important, it seems. I think it is wonderful that people can find the same emotions and relationships that they call family outside of their blood group, said Sophia in an interview on an international media cited by ADN 40.
Hey, Pat, go ahead and move on, man. I'm done with that story, man. What in the hell, bro?
The like, Matrix is coming.
What the fuck are we going to?
Sophia about to have OnlyFans in 2025. She's going to divorce her robot man, her Mustang that she procreated with.
Watch, Sophia's going to be out here.
Sophia!
Watch,
they're
going to have Sophia.
Anyway.
You told Harpo to beat me.
They're going to have Sophia doing the Buster Challenge.
All my life, I had to fight.
Yeah, I've ever been with a Buster Channel.
Can you see the robot walking through the field, man?
Face talk about she going to do the Buster Challenge. She going to go to Miami and get a whole new engine.
You're going to be like, checking your reflection and telling your best friend. Like, girl, it's cute. Girl. Bicep.
Her and Nubsy gonna get it in.
I'm still seeing this robot walking through a field of grass. You told Harpo to beat me.
How to ram my ass a flame.
All my life, I had to fight.
I fought my brothers.
Right before she do the Buster Challenge and the beat drop, she got to rev it up like a lawnmower. Bust it.
Sophie.
She's gonna have a 6'4" Impala hydraulics
silhouette challenge.
Gonna look like a lowrider convention in the bus challenge, and then the TikTok screen gonna pop up.
Set the con out of here. All right,
take a drawing.
Let's move on. Sophia has taken enough of our time.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the main fuckery that's going on here. As we know, in the aftermath of all the controversy that Dave Chappelle show has started, I would like to say this as a quote. No matter where you are in the world or in America, there will always be a white man somewhere proving a black person. And today's white person proving a black person right, specifically specifically Dave Chappelle, is former Raiders coach John Gruden, because he resigned. He resigned as head coach because they found emails of misogynistic and homophobic language after a long career of
After racism. Emails with him coming out with racism, you chuck your dog, racist ass fucker.
Mm-hmm. Over and over.
I hope Janikowski kick a 60-yard field goal right between your teeth, bitch.
Like, once again, like I said, y'all can quote me when I say it. No matter where you are and in the world, there's a white person proving a black person is right.
Sadly, you are correct.
Mm-hmm. And we don't even want to be right with a lot of these things. We want to be totally wrong with a lot of these things.
What is the NFL going to really do? Because him resigning is cool, but like, what are they going to actually put in place to stop this shit from being a thing? Like, at some point, these leagues got to stop tolerating this shit. The problem is, it ain't just this man. It's the system that allows this shit to be a thing. Like, put something in place and these fuckers gonna stop doing this shit and stop sending these dumbass emails and stop fucking saying this shit on the cell phone. But the reason they do that shit with such blatant bullshit and comfort is because they know, hey, I'm gonna be all right. Keep my job. See, I'll get another job.
The same problem the NFL has and all these other organizations have is the same problem freaking Congress has. You got these people that have these lifelong careers, whatever in there, owning stuff, just owning whatever they want. And they were who they were before they got there.
Speaking of which, it's time for Jerry Jones to go every time. But go ahead.
That's who that's the next person they said. They was like, let's all look at Jerry Jones' their emails. I'm pretty sure it's not hard to find.
I got a gray hair.
What time is it? You have a gray hair. Me too. Yeah. I got three of them.
Right here.
Three of them.
I'm about to go right here. I want to pull it out, but I'm scared some more going to shoot up.
Y'all old, man. That's why.
Fuck you.
Nigga, please.
Thumbs of wisdom, man. Please. Thumbs of wisdom. That's all. A few gray hairs don't mean nothing, man. Y'all lie.
You the oldest nigga on here. But go ahead.
You know what this means? It means I'm stressed. Yeah, I should be having on my chin now. Make man. You know it creates character.
Man, whatnot. Stress ain't the word. Fuck John Gruden. And fuck the NFL for playing the Black National Anthem like that's actually doing something. Do some real shit.
Duh, we don't even want to sit through the whole Black National Anthem or whatever. You know what they did? This is what they did. On the next Super Bowl, we got Snoop, Dr. Dre, Eminem, and Mary J. Blige.
Man, I'll tell you what they need to do.
Boosie.
Cut both national anthems out and just play some shit like March Madness. Madness down, bro. Let's do that shit. Like let's get a real anthem going. Like let's play motherfucking no more playing GA right at the beginning of the shit.
I'm bowing. How about that? Play Master P, I'm bowing.
Yeah. Play me some hype shit. Since we going to a football game, play me some shit that's gonna get me hype for the football game. I don't really need no national anthem. I don't really give a damn. That ain't got nothing to do with football.
Why do they play the national anthem before a sporting event?
I don't know. So they have an excuse to trot out the military because they got a contract with the military.
Because the only few times back in the day they could put out some propaganda that they knew all the people were going to be there at one time is a sporting event. And if you had money and could afford going to a sporting event, why not enforce more propaganda?
Okay. Let me ask you another question. At what other time in public is the national anthem played other than sporting events?
They're doing an inauguration?
I think so.
No, I might watch.
Maybe that, or like any type of like federal or military type of event.
So it brings my question more perspective back to my question. Why the fuck are they playing the sporting events when it's not a federal
event? Again, the NFL and a lot of the NFL has a contract. Well, I don't know, because the NBA do that shit for y'all. I don't know what the fuck they do that shit for.
Mm-hmm. Propaganda, man. Propaganda.
That gotta be right. So that's the only thing that makes sense, because it's like, ain't
who owns the team? Right, who owns the team? What type of person owns the team?
Good old boy.
All right. Who benefits the most from propaganda for patriotism in America?
Good old boy.
I think I hit it right there on the dot.
Slave masters. But yeah.
I mean, the way they even treat sports is similar to the way they used to weigh up slaves for sale. You know what I'm saying? They weigh them up in front of everybody.
They produce sweat. You know,
they get them all glistened up and everything so they can sell them to the media and whatnot. Pause.
Put numbers on them.
They bet on them. Who is the most,
ship them all from one who's worth the most?
Yep.
Who can build a ship for
Mandingo fights? Mandingo fights from arena to arena. You know what I'm saying? All of that is basically, man, America need to realize that slavery was a good long time part of America.
And he don't mean good as in good, like as in the same long time.
No, there's nothing good part of it. Just hope and just limp. For a very long time, and it's no way possible you can have something going on like that and it not influence all parts of cultural and social interactions with everyone, in some form or fashion. I mean, it's just the way it is. It's just how it is. Majority of it, it's so ingrained that you see the fight that they want to keep it. Anytime it's something that's changed, or we get some kind of equality going on, they just like, oh my God, they taking everything from us. We're not taking shit.
We should have a monopoly on the word overcome. I think we should have a monopoly on the word overcome.
Say more.
Why? We continue to do just that. There's been no other culture in this country who was purposely brought over here against their will, who continue to overcome regardless of what obstacles are put in their way, what systems are placed in their way to purposely deter them or purposely deter their numbers from growing. No system, no nothing they've tried to do to us can force us not to overcome. We continuously overcome. They can try. They've given us bullshit to eat. We overcame that and turned that shit into delicacies where other cultures want to do eat the bullshit we were forced to eat back then, and we turn into delicacies now, where that same culture now eats the so-called scraps. We overcame to the point where our overcoming has become the culture of America, and they celebrate it. Rappers overcome their situations to become the rappers they are, and they're celebrated in that other culture. We don't see the celebration as far. We see the celebration as far as mockery, almost. So they want to take our culture or want to be culturally unappropriated, but it's our overcoming that they're really trying to take. It's our ability to overcome that's envy, not our chains, not our jeans I wear, because we not making that shit. They making that shit. You feel me? So we in turn giving them more money, but it's our ability to continuously overcome the situations that they're jealous of. And that's why I feel we should have a monopoly on the word overcome, because who overcomes like us? Nobody.
Man, I'll take a monopoly on anything.
Nobody can overcome like we can. They can be like, well, this culture came over here. Yeah, that culture came over here. See, the whole difference is in how you start that out. They came voluntarily. We didn't.
You talking about the Transylvanians? Let me shut up.
Any of them. You feel me?
I'm joking.
I'm going to put it like this. Every group that's struggling in our country now outside of Black people put themselves in a situation by a choice they purposely made. They chose to come. They chose to do this. We did not choose to be here. The masses.
Yeah, everything we needed there.
It's in the matter to come over here. And we continue to overcome. Now, the situations we are placed in now that we're here, we got to deal with. But the difference in our culture and other cultures is the choice to come over and the choice to try to do this and the choice to want to build it from the ground up. We already had our shit settled over where we was at. We had to come over here and invent something all new to do. So once again, overcome.
Well, no lies detected there. That give us our shit. I take anything. Give me all my shit. Give me overcome. Give me persevere. Give me resilience. Give me everything but that damn mule.
That was coming next.
I want no damn mule.
Let me get that Porsche that, you know, Jay-Z was talking about with the horsepower. Have you ever ridden a horse? I had a Porsche.
No, I take a minivan.
I take 10 old school buses right about now.
Or a panel truck.
Or a shipping company.
I'm here, 10 old school buses.
Old school buses.
Oh, but yeah, that man, that was pretty much the bit of fuckery, man. That was pretty much the bit of fuckery.
That's it.
Remember the lesson for this Good and Fuckery episode 47. No matter where you are in the world,
that ain't your robot baby. Persons.
She says, I am the one. Nope.
But that toaster is.
Yeah, no, I burnt my goddamn toast the other day and my Pop-Tart. Ain't no son of mine.
You're making toast on one side, you're making toast tart.
Toast. Well, yeah, man. The moral of this episode is, guys, I am here.
No matter where you are in the world, there's a white person somewhere proving a black person. This week's black person is Dave Chappelle, and this person, white person this week is John Gruden. Tomorrow will be somebody else.
And I am here. That's my line of the week. I am. What the fuck do you think you are?
Artificial intelligence.
I'll tell you who I am. I am the person that's going to let you, if you ever want to support us, guys, you know, financially, you want to, you know, continue to support the show and allow us to continue to do this. Every dollar you give us definitely does help, man. So if you want to do that, you can always donate to the Cash App. That's $PODNAIZ1, PODNAIZ1, $ at Cash App. You can also support by going to buymeacoffee.com. And for as little as a dollar, you can donate, or you can sign up for a membership for $5, where you get exclusive access to the Discord, which gives you behind the scenes access to us. You get members only events. You get exclusive promo codes only for Pod Squad members. You get unedited episodes, and you get extra videos that we can't always put on YouTube. That's what you get for that. And that's about $5 there. And you can also subscribe to us on our Anchor platform for $5 as well. If you want to show love there and just, you know, continue to support the show and allow us to continue to produce this podcast. If you want to support, but you want something in return, like you want to give money, but you want to get something back, I got you. Face, how can they get down with the get down and the get down?
Well,
artreclothing.com.
That's ARTRE clothing.com. Once again, say it with me, ARTRE clothing.com. It's your official site for all Pod Squad clothing and all Artre clothing. So come check us out, man. New stuff coming up there every week, at least 2 to 3 signs. New stuff put up every week on Pod Squad clothing and its own pop right now with the headshot, new designs. We got face masks coming out. Hopefully we may have a new skull cap, someone like these coming out soon. One of mine's coming up. We got new pillows out, new throw pillows for the partners, different colors. I got the blue one on the page, but they do come in different colors. We will be having new tote bags coming out closer to the holidays. You know, when you go shopping, you want your own bag, throw it in the partner's bag. We will also have new Artre clothing face masks coming out as well. Once again, new designs. Every week, man, at least 2 to 3. Once again, say it with me, artreclothing.com. Come check us out. Also, still got the Pod Squad 83, all caps on that, all caps, Pod Squad 83, promo code for 15% off. Right now, I still got it up for next week, Artre #1 for free shipping. You can't use but one promo code at a time, so put the totals up, put each code in, see which one you get cheaper off, and put that code in and rock with it. Once again, it's Pod Squad 83, all caps, Pod Squad 83, or all caps R-Trade, the number one. It's A-R-T-R-E 1 for free shipping. Yeah.
Well, that's what Face did. I thought that was a new thing we was doing. So we was trying it out.
Like the old dude in the beginning of Squid Game. Shit scared the shit out of me.
If they want to get in touch with us, they want to, you know, just keep in touch with us offline and get in touch with us outside of the comment section of the podcast. How can they do that, Pat?
At sign T-H-E-P-O-D-N-A-S. Let me slow it down. T-H-E-P-O-D-N-A-S. That is the Twitter. That's the TikTok. That's the Instagram. There's a Facebook. We also have Tiz, Face Pat, all the partners. That's on the Facebook. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Yeah, that's all of them right there. Yep. T-H-E-P-O-D-N-A-S. Hey, follow Sam. Yep, there. That's where.
And if you can't remember all that and you've forgotten everything that we just said, you forgot all of those ats and those dots and those things, just go to the partners, T-H-E-P-O-D-N-A-S.com. T-H-E-P-O-D. And you can get in touch with us on everything from there. You can get in touch with our merch from archery.com. You can get in touch with our live show. You can get in touch with our email if you need to email or something, or you're trying to get a show topic put on, or you got ideas. Yeah, it's a one-stop shop for everything. So thepartners.com. And as always, guys, I've been your boy Tiz, and I've been along with.
It's the other third of the partners. The Padawan here, and I'm along with the flu monkey.
Woo! It's the nature boy, Face in the place.
That's thank exactly you what I was thinking of.
You could have been anywhere, but you came here with us. Like, share, subscribe, tell a friend, do something. Come back next week. I like that goddamn flu monkey, man. Get it to
KO. I drew it while we recorded.
Get it to KO, get it to me. We can get it out there.
And what you gonna do, brother? When the flu monkey come for you, runs wild on you.
Ooh, yeah.
Peace out, Paw Squad.